The Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In our society, we often hear the notion that the church is supposed to be countercultural. While all of us might agree with such a sentiment, that's going to look very different among Christians in our culture. In our gospel lesson, which you would have heard earlier in the Easter season, I believe we get a sense of what it means at its core to be countercultural as the church. And it starts with receiving God's peace. It doesn't start with drawing a firm line in the sand. It's not a call for a culture warrior to be ready to do battle behind a keyboard or anywhere else. It starts with receiving God's peace. In our gospel lesson from John, the disciples are afraid. They're so afraid that they've locked themselves away. And no matter where each of us gets our news, no matter where you fall on the ideological spectrum, we're told to be afraid, and we're also told who to be afraid of. The invitation and command of the world is to live in fear, to lock yourself away from your neighbor, to lock yourself away from the world. Yet as we celebrate the birthday of the church on the feast of Pentecost, how can we be a church that is locked away in fear when we received our Lord's invitation and command to be at peace? On Pentecost, we see God doing a new thing for all people in the world. Unity and diversity are gifts and not obstacles to fellowship. The peace of Christ gives us the ability to bear witness to God's love and activity in the world. Fear keeps us locked away. Fear creates anxiety. Fear justifies hate and violence. But peace releases us from that. In the book of Genesis, there's a story of the Tower of Babel. People spoke a single language, decided to build a city with a tower that went to the heavens. And God, seeing their pride, hindered their communication with languages, and people divided into different groups. And some see that story as a commentary of the consequences of human pride. Yet in our first lesson from Acts of the Apostles, we see something new happening. The reverse is happening. The disciples can communicate with people speaking different languages, belonging to different cultures. God's calling us to come together when we witness to God's loving activity in the world. So who do we receive our invitations and commands from? Is it the world? Is it about our success? Is it about our glory? Or are we following God's invitation and command that does not call ourselves to be gods in the world, but to be like God in embodying of love that unifies, that overcomes fear with peace, forgiveness and love? God is giving us direction as the church, as the body of Christ in the world. Yet the foundation of our navigational unit, so to speak, is the peace of Christ. Now, to be clear, there are rational reasons why we have doors, right? Why we have locks on those doors. Why even in today's world there might be a doorbell camera or security cameras on one's property. The world can be a dangerous place. And there are times during the day where we want to have an extra layer of security. But there are people whose vocation is to work and to serve others while we sleep, confronting often the byproducts of a dangerous world. Those people in vocations like law enforcement or firefighters, EMTs, medical professionals, all who answer the call to protect and care for us. So it's not that fear itself is irrational. It's where our fear is placed. It's a misplaced fear that we have. To think that only sin and evil can reside out there in the world, as if it could not also exist in our very homes that we've locked ourselves away in, as if it couldn't reside in the very being that we see when we look in the mirror, that fear can only be out there. It couldn't also be in here. Evil, darkness, brokenness. This is where the peace and forgiveness of Christ releases us from our fear, releases us from our shame, releases us from our brokenness, and unleashes us into a world to bring heaven to earth. Even when we try to put ourselves in a box, to lock ourselves away, the good news about the story that we hear in John's Gospel is that the peace of Christ will find us even in our attempts to lock ourselves in. Through locked doors, the crucified and risen Christ finds the disciples and says, "Peace be with you." Peace finds us. As the crucified and risen Christ finds those disciples and invites them to receive God's peace, the church continues to gather and encounters that very crucified and risen Jesus that finds us. Now, even today, people assume that God is about wrath and judgment. Probably because there are people that claim to be Christian that say God is about wrath and judgment, right? That's probably part of it. But in Christ, we have a God who finds us. We have a God who offers us peace. The good news is that the peace of Christ heals our fear. There are many that are afraid that they just don't measure up to the standards of our world. There are many that are afraid that they don't measure up to God's standards, filled with shame and fear of not living up to that ideal, whether it's set by religious authorities or the world that we live in. To add a Lutheran emphasis, that's all law. We're asking people to live up to a law that's unrealistic, that can never be fulfilled. And when it's all law, whether secular or religious, it becomes a proclamation of law that makes it about the measuring sticks, that makes it about people feeling ashamed for not living up to it. So while we feel our sense of shame by not measuring up, on top of all that, we see violence in the world. We feel that we aren't enough, and then on top of that, we feel like we can't do enough in a world that just seems lost. But in John's Gospel, Jesus appearing to the disciples in the locked room speaks volumes. The crucified and risen Christ shows the disciples his wounds, and that speaks volumes to the fear and the shame that we hold on to the fear and the shame that paralyzes us. They see the wounds of the crucified and risen Jesus, and it reminds them and us our failure in how we do not live up to following the way of God. It points us to the faithfulness of Christ, though. It points us to good news, that the faithfulness of Christ is what saves us. In those wounds, we see that we cannot save ourselves. We cannot follow any law, whether it be from this world or from religious authorities, perfectly. We cannot live up to other people's expectations. Yet in those wounds, we see that we are healed. And also in those wounds, we are reminded of the violence and evil of this world, where even the innocent can be convicted and executed. And in those wounds of Christ, all that fear, pain, and anguish can be communicated to those disciples and to us today. We see freedom in those wounds. We see love in those wounds. We see mercy in those wounds. And then Jesus, after showing him those wounds, says, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Jesus breathes on them. We could go back to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, where God breathed the breath of life into the man, the human being, and he became a living being. And as we celebrate the birthday of the church, we're reminded that we are a new creation. Jesus is inviting us to live into this new creation, breathing new life into us through the Holy Spirit, that we can go out into a dark and broken world, not with rose-colored glasses, but through the eyes of our crucified and risen Lord that gives us peace that surpasses all understanding. That it is the Holy Spirit that lights our path as we follow the way of Jesus. We can see the world for what it is and answer the call and the invitation to offer others that peace that we've received from Jesus. The Holy Spirit gives us the ability to hear and receive this good news. We're released and freed from the idea that we don't have to live under of this world that fills us with fear, but under the authority of Jesus, which gives us peace, mercy, and forgiveness. Mercy and forgiveness and peace that liberates us, that calls us to be with those who are afraid in this world, that they too might be freed from that paralyzing fear and come into the communion of the church where they can experience a God that finds them, loves them, and welcomes them home. That forgiveness and even the retention of sins is a reminder of God's justice to call all people to reconciliation with the living God, and that more and more people would experience that reconciliation in the world today. No longer are we paralyzed by the fear and obstacles of our world because Christ has done and is doing a new thing. Violence, hate, shame, and death, just to name a few, are all overcome by Jesus, the Jesus who finds us. He overcomes violence with peace, hate with love, shame with forgiveness and reconciliation, and an assurance that there's always a place for you at God's table, that God will always be at home and make a home with you. And in the face of death, he overcomes that with life, and we are joined to him. We receive this new life where the peace of Christ will always find us, where the peace of Christ will always heal us, where the peace of Christ will always light our way, and we are joined to this new life in Christ as a new creation, as God's holy church, to offer a breath of fresh air to a hurting world, struggling to breathe in new life. And that breath of fresh air is the liberating peace of Jesus that is with us now and forever. Thanks be to God. Amen.